Let us ask the Lord to bless the reading and the proclamation of His Word to us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we have just sung from Your Word of Your vast knowledge of everything about us. Also now, as we are about to worship You and hearing You speak to us, You know the thoughts that in us dwell. And we pray, O Lord, that we would understand that Your wisdom is great and mighty, also in regards to those that we have relationships with. And we pray, minister Your truth to us, that it may truly bear fruit in our lives. So keep us from going through just kind of the motions of worship here, and give us hearts to truly hear You speaking to us. We pray, grant to Your servant Your Spirit, and use him as Your mouthpiece for Your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm sure you can imagine my struggle with scripture reading this morning, because we have 1, 2, 3, 4 different places in the Proverbs. But they all have to do with a friend, and there are other ones too, but we'll hear them in the context of the sermon later. So I trust that the Lord will truly minister to us, speak to us from His Word as we both read it and hear it proclaimed. So please turn in your Bibles to Proverbs. We'll start at chapter 12. Most of these places we're just reading 1 or 2 verses. So Proverbs 12, starting at verse 26, just reading that verse. Let us give our attention to the reading of God's Word. Proverbs 12:26. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. And then turn over to chapter 18, verse 24. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Then to chapter 22, verses 24 and 25, Proverbs 22, 24 and 25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. And then the last one we'll read is in 27, chapter 27. We'll read 5 and 6 and 17 there, chapter 27. Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And then verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Dear brothers and sisters, beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know if we think about it very much, but God created man to be a social being. That is, to have relationships that are human relationships. In terms of creation, friendship is a vital part of our life. Many have written about this, especially lately, as it relates to what we call the COVID time. But yeah, also, we live in a reality of a fallen world. So we have to understand that friendships, because of sin, can also be a great harm. So that's why, through Solomon, God has revealed to us wisdom about having friends, relationships. And we see they can be a very strong influence for good or for evil. So the godly person must choose friends carefully. Our theme is the caution and blessing of friendship. Yeah, it's pretty simple, and the 2 points out of this theme are also pretty simple. But first of all, brothers and sisters, we should understand something about this term friend, as it's translated in English. The same word in Proverbs is also translated as neighbor, and sometimes it's even translated as a fellow. In other words, it's often translated as someone who is there in a very general way, an associate. But then also, the word friend is used to speak of a very close and intimate relationship. But, well, maybe I'm dating myself. We don't use this term anymore, but we used to call it a bosom buddy. Often it's translated with the word companion. It's a very close relationship. So the word friend carries a wide range of meanings, and that's true also in the New Testament in the Greek. And as we have read it in Proverbs, we obviously have to understand it in its context to determine its specific meaning. And yeah, we read several Proverbs about friend, and we will refer to others as we go along. But from these, let's first of all see the caution of friendship. The caution in having friends. It's wonderful to have friends. God made us that way. Over the years, God has blessed me with having many good friends. But I also experience some rather negative things about being friends. And of course, it's not only from experience, but especially from God's Word, especially in the Proverbs, that we're taught wisdom in the kind of friends that we have in our lives. So may God give us a heart to really be thoughtful and caring about this matter. And by the way, this is not only true about a young person, you know, for example, going off to college or to a new school and meeting new people. This is also true of even online friends. It's really about any close association we have with people. And we find a friend can be very fickle and changing. And a friend can be a bad influence. So, Proverbs 19:6, it says, 19:6, every man is a friend to one who gives gifts. Every man is a friend to one who gives gifts. That's a caution. It's a warning that everyone will be your friend if you give them something. Or to put it the other way, your friendship can be bought. It's very important. Friendship can be fickle, changeable, based on what you give them or what you get from them. So that's a caution. Another caution is that a friend can affect your character. The people you spend close time with affect the kind of person that you are. In Proverbs 22, we read it this morning, 22, 24, and 25. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. It's pretty clear. We ought not to make friendships with certain kinds of people. And to kind of explode that, to make it very real to us, the example used of is make friendship with an angry person. A person who loses his temper, who acts in a very hateful way all the time. And we're told that can affect you. You learn his ways. And it affects your heart, it affects your soul. You set a snare for your soul. Your spiritual being will be captured by that kind of stuff. Proverbs 29:24. Whoever is a partner, and that's the word friend, with a thief, hates his own life. The point is, you have a certain kind of friend, it can bring ruin to your life. You actually are hating yourself. Proverbs 28:7 says, a companion, and that's the word for a close friend, a companion of gluttons shames his father. So don't make friends with such people who are gluttons. And a glutton isn't just someone who eats too much. That's a very common idea about being a glutton. It involves that, but it's much more than that. A glutton is one who can't control himself. He doesn't have self-control. So his passions, his desires control him, and he can't control them. That's a glutton. And such a person is someone you should not have as a friend. It even says it'll bring shame to your father. So the idea is he raised you with better values. And those values are going to be attacked and destroyed if you have a friend like that. And then Proverbs 20:19 tells us, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Don't associate, have a friendship with one who flatters with his lips. This is about someone who tells you what you want to hear. He flatters you. And that is not a good friend. That's not someone to spend time with. Why not? Because he will never correct you when you are wrong. You know, it's very common. People think almost that a definition of a good friend is that a good friend will never confront you. So they kind of gravitate to make friends with those who will flatter them. In other words, won't speak the truth to them, but just tell them what they want to hear. God's wisdom says, that's not a good friend. So don't fall into the trap of thinking, well, he's a good friend because he never tells me anything wrong. He just lets me go my own way and keeps flattering me. It's the opposite according to God's wisdom. But then also it's important, brothers and sisters, to understand that to be confronted when we have done something that's wrong, that's much different from being betrayed, especially being betrayed over what is good. In other words, when you take a stand for the good and they don't stand with you, or even worse, they stand against you when you stand for what's good, that's betrayal. And in the Psalms, we can read several Psalms how David, by the Holy Spirit, spoke of a close friend and how that close friend betrayed him. Just two examples. Psalm 41. Again, this is inspired by the Holy Spirit. David says, Psalm 41, even my old familiar friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. It's saying he turned against me in my time of need. In Psalm 55, David, by the Holy Spirit, wrote this, it is not an enemy who reproaches me, then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me. But it was you, a man my equal, my companion, my acquaintance. Again, companion is my very close friend. It's so obvious. The closest of relationships can sadly end in betrayal. And brothers and sisters, what we read in Proverbs 27 in verses 5 and 6 our last reference for in our scripture reading, that really explains about this. When it says, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Here it's teaching us, it's better to have a friend who will rebuke you, even if it means that he wounds you. In other words, it hurts. It's being a faithful friend. And the contrast is to love carefully concealed. In other words, it speaks of kind of hiding love, not being open about your friendship and support when it's really needed the most. It's like the kisses of an enemy. That's deceitful. Obviously, kisses of an enemy have to do with faking your love and your care for someone. See, it's being deceived when you think you have a good friend who will stand by you in time of need. But instead, in that time of need, he's gone. He abandons you. He has a love carefully concealed. And the point is, a faithful friend will rebuke you, even if it hurts. And that is better than a friend who deceives you by faking his love and care for you. Now, we went over quite a few things here, brothers and sisters. And we have to kind of reflect and ask, why does God tell us all this? Well, like our point says, it's to give us caution in having a friend. As those who are God's people, we need to choose friends carefully. And we read, Proverbs 12:26 says exactly that. The righteous should choose his friends carefully. And you notice in that same verse, right away, it tells us why. So choose your friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Think about it. How is it the easiest for you to be led in a wrong way? It's not by those that are far off from you, who you don't spend much time with. But obviously, it's by those who are very close with you, who you spend a lot of time with. And it's so very important. The righteous, those who are wise in Jesus Christ, the godly person, doesn't give up his moral standards just so he can have a friend. And yes, that relates also to wanting to have a girlfriend or a boyfriend. And hopefully a spouse in due time. It's so sad that so often people want that so badly they will give up their moral standards. They will give up the path of righteousness just to have what they so dearly desire. Well, brothers and sisters, part of our righteousness is to be careful so that we are not misled into a path that's going to be a great hurt to us, even to our own souls. Don't be misled even by one who is nearest to you. So, may we all, young or old, may we give attention to God's word of caution in the friends that we have and what we are to avoid. What we should stay away from. But then also let us hear the blessing God gives in a friend. And that's our second point, the blessing of friendship. May it truly be our desire and prayer that God would grant, as we hear this, that we come to see what kind of friends we ought to seek out, but also see what kind of friend we ought to be. In Proverbs 27:17, we read it, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Here God tells us something about the blessing of a good friend. And it kind of goes together with what we already heard earlier. Because this is someone who will not just be soft with you. He won't just tell you what you want to hear. He'll never, you know, he's not the kind of person who won't stand up to you. In other words, only flatter you, as we heard earlier. We have to see. And yeah, this really becomes a part of us only as God works in our hearts. We all need sharpening, as it says here. We need to get sharper so that we grow in righteousness. And a friend, a true friend, a good friend, he will do that. Like iron sharpens iron. You don't sharpen iron with something soft. And so two friends sharpen each other like iron does iron. And the point is, look for such a blessing in choosing a friend, and look for such a blessing to be such a friend. Sharpening each other. In fact, God also gives us wisdom in how to be a good friend so that we are a blessing. And I'm sure that as we hear some of these, it's a bit surprising, and yeah, it's also very practical. So, for example, in Proverbs 27, we didn't read this, in 27 verse 14, Proverbs 27:14, it says, "He who blesses his friend with a loud voice, rising early in the morning, it will be counted a curse to him." That's a bit surprising, isn't it? But it's rather practical, too. Here is someone who blesses his friend, but with a loud voice, when he's rising up early in the morning. And we all are smiling, or most of us are, because we know that's not nice. Most of us can relate. We need a little time to get adjusted to the day. And the point is, don't be overly cheery at the wrong time. To everything there is a time and a season. And here the example is when others are still waking up. The point is, this is just being a good friend. Be considerate. Another one, Proverbs 26:18-19. 26:18-19. It says this, "Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is a man who deceives his neighbor," and the word neighbor there is a normal word for friend. So he deceives his neighbor and says, "I was only joking." Well, in English it says deceives, but it's really important. He deceives in this way. That he says or he does something, and then he sees that it's not going so well, so he says, "I was just kidding. You know, I was only joking," it says. And that's deceiving. Because you were actually meaning something else. And you notice, when you do this, you are like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death. In other words, that's how hurtful you can be. So, be careful in being a friend. We read in Proverbs 18:24. Well, you know, the first part of that verse needs some explanation. If there are questions about that, we can go over it in our discussion time. But the second part of Proverbs 18:24, it says, "There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." And we might think, a brother, how can you get closer than that? Well, the point being made here is that a true and a good friend is one who will stick to you. The word is actually cleave. He'll be one with you in ways that a brother may not be one with you. Maybe a personal illustration will help. I grew up having an older brother and also being an older brother. So I was in between. I know it from both sides, in other words. A brother corrects, and that's good. I'm thankful to the Lord that he blessed me by having many corrections from my brother. But you see, a brother also can be just devastating to you. Because often a brother is not too worried about how it makes you feel. In other words, he's not very sensitive. I mean, you live in the same house, you'll be there the next day, so it's no big deal. We'll see each other again. And you'll have to like me because we're in the same family. But you see, a true friend is closer to that in this way. There's a friend who sticks closer than that in this way. When he corrects you, he's sensitive in doing it. He cares how you feel. The basic truth is, seek such a friend. That's the point here. And also be that kind of a friend, where you are sensitive. Really, when it says a friend sticks closer than a brother, it's talking about being spiritually close and intimate. And you may not have that with physically, you know, a blood brother. So it kind of brings us back to that saying, water is thicker than blood. In other words, the brothers we have in Christ are often closer to us, more intimate with us spiritually, than even family brothers and sisters. And many of us have experienced that reality in our lives. So again, the point is, we are to have friends who are spiritually, can be close with us, and they truly care because of that. In fact, in thinking and studying about this, I thought of a good example of that kind of friendship, sticking close. How that's shown in Job's three friends. Yeah, I know. They made a lot of wrong conclusions. But brothers and sisters, none of their wrong conclusions should erase the fact of what kind of friends they were to Job. So listen to just a few verses from Job 2. Listen to this. When Job's three friends heard of all his adversity that had come upon him, each one came from his own place, and it names them, for they had made an appointment together to come and mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they raised their eyes from afar and did not recognize him, they lifted their voices and wept, and each one tore his robe and sprinkled dust on his head toward heaven. Listen. So they sat down with him on the ground 7 days and seven nights. And no one spoke a word to him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Brothers and sisters, we learn a lot about friends in this. These friends saw Job and they didn't even recognize him. And so they turned around and took off. No. They raised their voices and they wept. And they sat with him in silence for 7 days and seven nights. They didn't say a word, it says. Why? Because they saw his grief was very great. The point is, a true friend is sensitive to grief. But also, a true friend doesn't stay away in such times. When times are hard, you must know that many people just want to be a friend when everything's going great. And again, be careful you aren't that kind of friend. And when times aren't so great, when there's grief, there's hardship, well, they stay away. Again, personal illustration may help. Years ago now, I was unemployed. Long story why, but I was unemployed. And I was terribly miserable. By that time in my life, I had this reformed biblical understanding that work was service to God. And I was desperately looking for work. I had no job. It was like, I'm useless. And a friend called and said he wanted to come over and visit. And I said, no, don't come. I don't want to talk. I told him that. And he said, we don't have to talk. I just want to come over and sit with you. And he did. And it was a real quiet evening. But brothers and sisters, in that way, God showed me that He cared. He showed me He cared. And the point is, that's a friend. Even often closer than a brother. It's a great blessing. And yeah, about all this, I know. We've probably all said this when things are tough. We say, I don't know what to say. And then often people stay away. But brothers and sisters, young people, it can be a great blessing. It can be a comfort. Even to hear, I don't know what to say. And then be willing to just sit in silence. You know, silence is not the worst thing when you really care. So dear brothers, dear sisters, young people, children, all of us, a true friend is a great blessing from God. It means being sensitive. It means being encouraging. It means being comforting. You can only do that when you're spiritually united. And especially it means being truthful, to correct and to rebuke. In fact, one scripture we didn't read this morning is Proverbs 27:9. It says, the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. Think of that. The sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. May God give you such a friend. And may God work in you to be such a friend, where there is delight in counsel, in giving and in receiving advice and insight. What a blessing. In conclusion, as we have heard all this about a friend, I pray we would come to see that the integrity, the character, the heart that we need to be such a friend, that's just not found in ourselves. We need God's grace for this. Yeah, we need wisdom to be able to know how to be a true friend and how to identify a true friend. And today, God has given us that in Proverbs. He showed us the caution of friendship. It can be to our ruin. And He showed us the blessing of friendship. It can be such sweetness. And brothers and sisters, all of us, young people, children, in ourselves, we won't see it. Because by our sinful natures, we are wise in ourselves. And we choose our friends the way we want them. And we heard a lot of words of caution. I won't repeat it all. How easily we can be attracted to friends who will just tell us what we want to hear and all of that. We're wise in ourselves. So, dear brothers and sisters, in friendship too, we need Jesus Christ to redeem us. And in His redemption, we accept the caution and we find the blessing in friendship. You know, over the years, I have known some who have said, I don't need friends. Or they have said, I don't need to be a friend to others. Well, in case you are here this morning and you think this way, in the name of Christ, I'm telling you, you are fooling yourself. In fact, the devil is fooling you with such ideas. It's really important that we understand the many ways the devil attacks God's created order. And that's also about society and friendship. And that's why we started off in our introduction. And we need to hear it again. God created man. He created you to be part of others, to be in a society. Have you ever thought of this? God gave 10 commandments, and 6 of them have to do with a neighbor. Do you think he would waste 6 commandments if it was just as good for him that you be off on an island in isolation by yourself? It's pretty obvious, isn't it? But also, about this, brothers and sisters, I've seen it. The result, the consequence of thinking, I don't need friendship. To have friends or to be a friend, I don't need that. The consequence is that such people slowly gravitate to becoming friends with the world. In the process of convincing yourself you don't need friendship with believers, you will end up making friends with unbelievers. I've seen it over and over again with sad results. Remember, James 4 verse 4 says, whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world, I hope you know how it ends, makes himself an enemy of God. That's no trifling thing. We need to think of friendships in terms of redemption. And that it's only in Jesus Christ that we can know true friendship. And it's only in Jesus Christ we can be a true friend. So may you know God's grace. May we know God's grace. So we can say with the psalmist, like in Psalm 119:63. Listen to this. Psalm 119:63. I am a companion. That's a word for an intimate friend. I am a companion of all who fear you, capital Y, in other words, who fear the Lord, and of those who keep your precepts. See what that means? I'm a close friend of those who love the truth and practice it because they're in Jesus Christ. And that's why I said we need to think of friendship in terms of redemption. So, by God's grace, in Jesus Christ, may you know the blessing of having a true, real friend. And in Jesus Christ, may you also know the blessing of being such a friend. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we sang earlier what a friend we have in Jesus. And may that be very dear to us after hearing about friendship this morning. Because truly, friends may leave us and forsake us, but Jesus never will. So may we truly seek to be a friend and to find friends who we can be one in Christ with. And any relationships we have outside of that, help us to see, to be very careful, the time we spend, the influence we are. Oh, Father, work in our hearts and bring fruit into our lives about our friendship. May your word accomplish the purpose that you've given it to us here this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.